we cannot see.
How prophetic.
All that's yet to be.
All that's yet to be.
The trials we may have to face.
Reverence, the reverence it deserves, being acutely aware of our limitations to deliver and to receive the manifold wisdom, infinite wisdom of God compressed into this written word. So we need help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, indeed, that I may speak as I should, as an oracle of God. We pray the same anointing and unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically, that this word will have free course from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal an eternal work in every heart, including my own, and in our nation Nigeria, causing our wills to be more humble, our minds more enlightened by the light of life and revelation knowledge, our emotion to be more controlled and influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, enabling the fullness of your blessings, the things that are yet to come, that have been spoken of by your prophets concerning this land of destiny to come. We ask that you will have mercy, help me to deliver your message to our nation with precision, to speak, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of your word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving the blessing individually in their life, said, we stand at a fresh dawn of our nation with a new government in place. We're very grateful to God, as we have been expressing in our hearts and in our songs, for His great faithfulness to our nation, seeing us through a very difficult and tumultuous time of elections, and by and large, causing there to be great peace throughout the length and the breadth of this land. Many Nigerians are in a state of great expectancy from this new government. Many of us are in a state of hope that the things that the Nigerian potential promises may actually be actualized. I think right across the globe, all people of goodwill recognize the potential of this great nation. I was reading, and I think I forwarded an article by Malvin Albright, who used to be the former Secretary of State of the United States, and she said, why Nigeria is important to the world, to Africa and to the world. Even in the secular media, people recognize and appreciate and perceive that this country is a country of a nation of destiny. And indeed it is. Today I want to share a prophetic message for the nation. I believe it's going to be a short message. For the days ahead. I want you to know that what we have gone through and where we are standing now is not an end, it's a beginning. There's a lot ahead of us. And that's why that particular song we just sung is so prophetic. For days we cannot see, for all that's yet to be. For trials, let's not think that it's all going to be hunky-dory in the days ahead. We may have to face, but we'll be leaning on your grace. And it will be your strength and your love that makes us strong, that will see us through to finally bring us to what we have so beautifully termed the harbor of destiny. Before I go into my message, my mind goes back to 16 years ago, 1999. We were here. General Obasanjo became the head of state through a series of staggering miracles. The death of General Abacha, the government of Abdul Salam, the subsequent elections, the inauguration, and there was great hope in the nation, just like now. We look back over the last 16 years, and the Yoruba people, we have a beautiful saying in our language. It says, "Entuba monura mopeda." As the person who knows how to reflect, knows how to be grateful in the heart. Well, a lot of high expectations were not met in these 16 years. But I want to say something before I go into this prophetic message. We're not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be. I will say it again. We are not where we should be, or we expect to be, but we're certainly not where we used to be. For that, we give God thanks. Give the Lord a clap offering. It is easy, and I think it is an act of ingratitude to be cynical, pessimistic, But that you are sitting here this afternoon in peace, in security, that you can go home, come out. Your children are in school. Bullets are not flying. We were looking yesterday, they did a documentary on television on Abidjan in Côte d'Ivoire. For 10 years, they had to move the African Development Bank from Abidjan to Tunis because of war, because of an election. Ah, ejeka dupe lowo Olorun. In our language, that means let us be grateful to God. You may be seated. So, 1999, it was great expectations. President Basu had just come out of prison. He had had a brush with God. I read his books. It's not theory. I read his books. I don't know him one-on-one, but I knew him well, you know, close enough. He certainly had an experience. The expectation was high. Reinhard Bonnke came. I don't know how many of you remember. Reinhard Bonnke, world-renowned evangelist. He was the one that came to Nigeria to preach at the inauguration. Everybody said, ah, at last. Nigeria. But alas, alas. A lot of things we expected did not happen the way we thought they should happen. But we thank God. A lot of good things still happened. In 1999, there was no mobile phone. I remember when we used to go on missionary trips to Togo. And Benin Republic, you know, or in those days they would have the seller on the road, the person who is selling oranges, will have mobile phone. And here we'll be saying to ourselves, myself, Pastor Gwega, my wife, you know, Pastor Larry, we'll say, when will we have mobile phone in Nigeria? It was only the very rich, not nine not. Not nine not. Are you there? Break the pathfinder, not finder. People will be showing off with mobile phone inside the airport. Because only a few people, only the very few privileged could afford it. Today, the market seller in Nigeria. Kunle is just whispering to me, The poor man in Nigeria, the person in the market, sometimes they have three or four, not one mobile phone. They have MTN, they have Airtel, they have Glo, they have Visa phone, they have Etisalat. Edupelo along. Give the Lord a clap offering. Encho ba monuro ni oni mopeda. We are not where we should be. Oh. But we are certainly not where we used to be. Today you have ATM card. There was no such thing. Today you can use your ATM Naira card to buy on the internet anywhere in the world. In Naira. Converted to dollars just like that. We're not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be. Hence, this prophetic word. You see, until we understand and appreciate that the destiny of the nation is in the hand of the church, and we rise, I'm talking about the church now, rise to her potential, to her fullness, Nigeria as a nation cannot attain her fullness if the church in her does not attain her fullness. The destiny of this nation is tied to the destiny of the church. We thank God for the last 16 years. We thank God for the things that have been done. And we also look at the things that have not been done. The issue of corruption. The issue of power. The issue of security that has made every Nigerian say, ha. My wife and I were ruminating the other day. We thank God for how God has blessed us in our lives, in our business, in Life Fort, in the church here. If you remove diesel and security from my expenses, the businesses would have so much more money for missions, so much more money for ministry. Two major, major issues. The fact that there are even businesses in Nigeria is a miracle. Yes, sir. How many businesses can you do that will be successful by the time you put on top of it the diesel, the power, you know, the money you spend on security and, you know, and water? So there are challenges ahead. I've entitled this message, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and David. It's a prophetic message using prophetic types and shadows so that we can see the evolution. The word evolution is just a big word for change. The political, moral, social, spiritual evolution of our leaders and the part we as a church have to play in that evolution. Government is a divine institution. It was not set up by man, it was set up by God. Just like the home, just like the church. There are three institutions on the earth that are divinely set up. The home, the church, and the nation. And the scripture tells us in the book of Romans chapter 13, if you just go there for a minute, verse 1, the powers that be are ordained of God. Let every soul, everybody, open your mouth. I didn't hear you. Don't you know, that includes you, incidentally. You are a soul. Say, let every soul be subject. Be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Can you give me this in one of the modern translations? First, the Amplified. And if I'm not satisfied, then I'll check it in the New International Version. Can I have this in the Amplified? Everyone must submit himself. I'm going to keep saying it until you get it. Must submit himself to the governing authorities. Turn to your neighbor and say, Buhari didn't write that scripture. God wrote it. Abacha didn't write that scripture. Obasanjo didn't write that scripture. God wrote it. To the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. And the authorities that exist have been established by PDP, APP, APC. By who? See beyond the politics. See God. But some of them are not Christians. How can we see God? You will see in a minute. Next verse. Whosoever, therefore, stay in the New International Version. Consequently, I like this. He who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The scripture in the book of Proverbs, I like it. It says, meddle not with them that are given to change. For who can tell what their destruction will be? That's why it's very important to be submitted to constituted authority. But what if the authority is bad? We'll get to that in a minute. Next verse. For rulers are no terror to those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Look, we need to. This scripture I've just read should be shouted on the rooftops of the whole of Nigeria. Do you want to be free? I'm not reading scripture, I'm asking you a question. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? How many want to be free from fear? The answer is so simple. Paul tells us this was not written by PDP or APP or APC. It was written by God. He said, then do that which is right. Then do... Yes, open your mouth. Then do that which is right. And he who is in authority will do what? Commend you. What a bold statement. What's the guarantee that the man, if you do what is right, the man will commend you? God said, I'm the one backing this. Next verse. For he is God's servant to do you good. I want you to read that scripture again. You're not saying with conviction. God's servant shall. For he is what? To do you bad. To do you what? Good. But if you do wrong, and this is going to be particularly true in this new dispensation. Amen. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment. Everybody, don't be afraid of speaking the scripture. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring what? Punishment. The day where you do wrong in Nigeria and get with it is gone. It's not Buhari who is going to enforce it. It's God who is going to enforce it. Now he will use Buhari. And he will use the governmental structures. But the power that's going to be behind is going to be God. So people are going to be afraid. We need a healthy fear of God, of wrongdoing in Nigeria. This cuts across political affiliation. You know I'm non-partisan. Hence this message. So, The institution of government is a divine institution. It was set up by God deliberately so that righteousness, that was right doing, you know, can be prevalent in the societies and clusters of men. Nations were formed after Noah's flood. So God gathered them together, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, you know. And because of man's fallen nature, the institution of government had to come into being so as to have a deterrent, a force that would counteract the sin nature that is inside man, that ordinarily, if there was no law, if there was no government, then that sin nature will run rampant. It's still there. But the fact that there is a rule of law, the fact that there is a governing authority, puts it in check to some degree. What stops? You have your car outside after in the church. You go outside, you're going home. What stops somebody from stopping you on the road with a gun? Say, give me that car. You know his car. It's your car. But if he has a gun and you don't want to die, you will give him the car. Now, why would he have the freedom to do that? If there is no police, if there is no government, if there is no authority, if there was nothing, there was no institutionalized of governing authority, empowered with the police force, security agencies, as a deterrent, it's happening, but it will happen much more frequently. That's why you have government. That listen nature is there. Something happened in New York about 20 years ago. I can't remember. It's been a long time. But I can never forget because I'm watching on CNN. You know, if you're in America, New York, if you go on Fifth Avenue or any of these where they all the shops, Macy's and Bloom and all these nice shops are, everybody's walking nicely, just be looking through the window. You know, what you can't afford, you call it window shopping. Praise the Lord. When the money is not there, you just look at it and you just move on. Because there's a patrol car around the corner and you see this big burly cop, you know, the boys in blue, Pastor G, you know, he's got his packed his gun right here, you know, and he's just watching you. So long as you are only window shopping and you're not breaking, no problem, it's fine. Then you know what happened in New York? The light went off. It's a true story. The light went off, and the same lawful abiding people who were window shopping started breaking the window and carrying things. It was always there. But the fact that there was a governing police force and there was light, so that if you did it, they would identify you and they will arrest you or they will shoot to kill, was the deterrent that didn't make them do it. Once darkness came, and for that period, that window of time, when there was no governing authority, there was, but because they could not enforce it, because nobody could see anybody, the what was inside came out. That's why you need a good government. Give the Lord a clap offering. If there is no government, man's sin nature will destroy society. That's why we need good government. Now, leaders come in three flavors. And that's why I've entitled this Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, and David. I call it an evolution. Some leaders have Nebuchadnezzar's characteristics. Incidentally, we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar because it's very interesting. Nebuchadnezzar started as a wicked ruler. So some rulers are wicked. And we see this in the book of Daniel. Because of time, I'm not going to look at all the scriptures. I'm just going to look at two scriptures that highlight the wickedness of Nebuchadnezzar. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verse 12. Just that verse. For this cause, the king, this Nebuchadnezzar, was very angry. Was angry and very furious. And commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. That's typical Nebuchadnezzar for you. This man that God calls his servant. Isn't the scripture paradoxical? Very. Then jump to, because of time, I just want to highlight my points. Jump to Daniel chapter 3 verse 6. And I'll show you something. This is Nebuchadnezzar talking. And whoso, I didn't hear you, falleth not down and worshipeth, this is when he set up the image of gold, shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. It's a very wicked man. In chapter 2, he had a dream. He didn't remember. So he now called all the people. They said, the interpreter, they said, oh God, it's not like that. Tell us the dream. We will interpret it. He said, I know you want to gain time. And try and just cook up something. He said, now, go and tell. Then he said, if you can't tell me the dream, get all of the wise men, including Daniel and his friends. Go and kill every. Can you imagine? Would that get him his dream back? What an illogical thing to do. But that's what happens when absolute power corrupts absolutely. You don't know anything about Nebuchadnezzar. He had absolute power. The Bible says, whom he would, he slew. Whom he would, he kept alive. It was Daniel. We're going to get Daniel in a minute. When he said, let me say it in Nigerian English. He said, Oga, give us some time. Then he knew Daniel doesn't tell lies. Righteousness is so important. He knew Daniel. He's not like the others. He said, let not the king be hasty. Give us some time. The God of heaven, he will reveal the secret. So Daniel went to pray with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the story. Then God gives Daniel revelation of what he had. When Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, it totally disarmed him. He said, there is no God like this God who reveals secrets and does great things. He began to talk about the God of Daniel, and you would have thought he would get saved the next day. The human heart is terrible, though. You would have thought that with that, there's no one Daniel will say that Nebuchadnezzar, by chapter 3, which is probably just maybe a few months or a few years after the incident in chapter 2, the same Nebuchadnezzar, he has forgotten. That is what you need to understand. So by the time I finish this message, you'll see where we're going. That is what we need to understand. These men may have good intentions. I was telling somebody yesterday, I was in a meeting, you know, and they just asked me to pray, you know, and all of that. And I prayed, you know, short prayer. And I said this, I said, they may have good intentions, but they are men. And being men, they are fickle. With the best of intentions, if you don't back them up with prayer, the same men will misbehave. Nebuchadnezzar! After God interpreted his dream, and he was talking about the God of heaven, blah, 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 the same one. I don't think it was more than just a few months or a few years. He sets up this image of, he has forgotten. And says, everybody must bow to my image of gold. If you don't, wait a minute. If you don't even bow. You know, he can banish you somewhere, or he can say, take your salary. He didn't do that. He said, you are going. Showing you how wicked this man was. Then you would have thought that he would remember Daniel and his people. These are good people. And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, oh king, he would have said, oh, leave these ones alone. You know, that the people who interpreted my dream the other day, The Bible says his visage comp. It was the devil. It was no longer Nebuchadnezzar. Satan came and sat on top of him. The Bible says he was so furious. His whole countenance changed. Uriefolo. Let's say it in Yoruba. He said, Hey, hold me. I say you won't bow, you will bow. He forgot Daniel, forgot Shadrach, Meshach, and all the good that they had done for him, you know. And you know, as I said, hit the thing 7 times hotter. Why are we while living? They will see problem today. Hit it 7 times. The Bible said thing was so hot that the people who carried them into the fire, those people died. This man is a wicked man. These other people did not offend him. Those ones had been bowed. But they were trying to carry the other people. But the fire was so hot that the people who carried them died. And we know the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into the fire. The fire doesn't burn them. They come out of the fire. I'm going to get to Cyrus and Daniel in just a minute, and David in just a minute. You know, they come out of the fire. They come out of the fire. There's nothing burns them and everything. Ah, Nebuchadnezzar. Now you remembered. He said, there is no God like the God of Shadrach, of Meshach, and Abednego. Nobody should say anything against their God. Anybody who says anything, you know, their house will be made a dunghill and all of that. But you'd have thought that maybe he too would have. But he did not. I'm showing you the state of the human heart and why we must pray for leaders. It's an evolution. This same Nebuchadnezzar. It's not a short time. After all this drama, the dream, the fire, he has a dream. He calls Daniel. Daniel said, this dream be to your enemies. I reject it in Jesus' name. Reject it for you. The dream was about Nebuchadnezzar and how God would cut him down, leave the stump inside the ground, you know, until he knows that the Most High rules in the affairs of men. This same, I'm showing you, this I'm going somewhere prophetically. This same Nebuchadnezzar. Then Daniel interprets the dream. Then Daniel gives him a way out. And says, O king, show mercy to the poor. Be kinder. And there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He forgot. Forgot in chapter 2. Forgot in chapter 3. Forgot in chapter 4. So, he had to be sent into the forest 7 years. Ate grass like an ox. It was after the 7 years. He says his reason returned to him. Now, chapter 4, verse 17. This verse 17 is fine because of time. You know, this says, the matter is by the decree of the watchers. Don't your neighbor say, I'm a watcher. I not only watch and pray for myself, I'm going to watch and pray for Nigeria. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Don't your neighbor say, I'm going to watch and pray. I'm not going to talk and talk. I'm not going to talk and criticize. I'm not going to talk and pull down. I'm going to watch and pray. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. This matter is by the decree and the demand of the word of the holy ones. These people made apostolic prophetic decrees to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. You know, God shows us extreme examples in the Bible. That's why he went to the extreme of Nebuchadnezzar. And then Daniel makes this prophetic statement. He said, if somebody has bad, as Nebuchadnezzar. God sometimes will put them in the authority. It is now for the Daniel company to tame them. Verse 32, quickly. They will drive thee until you know that the Most High ruleth. Everybody say, until you know that the Most High, that the Most High, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever will. We're not through. There's that last thing that Nebuchadnezzar said, you know, where he says, now I know. Where's that scripture? I think it's that same Daniel chapter 4, towards the end, where it says, you know, and I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes. Thank you. We see the evolution of Nebuchadnezzar. He starts from being wicked to finally, the same Nebuchadnezzar, acknowledging the Most High God and submitting to Him. This is, in the Old Testament, this is a sinner's prayer. He says, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed, I didn't hear you, the Most High, and I praised. He's an unbeliever. This is a Babylonian king. The palace and the whole place is full of idols. And praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is a what? Everlasting dominion. His kingdom is where? Generation to generation. Next verse. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth. This is not Daniel talking, it's Nebuchadnezzar. You know, many times when we read this thing, we think it's Daniel in our mind because, you know, it's the book of Daniel. It's not Daniel, it's Nebuchadnezzar talking. It's not Daniel talking, it's Nebuchadnezzar that is talking. Unbeliever, Babylonian king, wicked man, here, and all the inhabitants of the earth are repeated as nothing, and he doeth according to his will. Where? Who told Nebuchadnezzar that God had an army in heaven? Thank you, Kule. Who told Nebuchadnezzar that God has an army? There was no book of Daniel in the day of Nebuchadnezzar. He could not turn to Daniel and see Michael, the prince of Persia. You know, it had not been written. So who told Nebuchadnezzar that God had an army in heaven? God told him. See how powerful prayer is. Prayer changed the heart of Nebuchadnezzar from wicked. It didn't happen overnight, too. The characteristic, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just mention it now. The characteristic that Daniel never gave up on him. We must not give up on our leaders. Daniel never gave up on Nebuchadnezzar. Started with him in chapter 1 and 2. Nebuchadnezzar, wicked and blah, blah, kill everybody. Daniel prayed. Had some influence. It wasn't all that he wanted. You know, chapter 3, fire! Blah, 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 blah. It didn't change, but Daniel didn't give up on him. Turn to your neighbor and say, we must not give up on our leaders. And I'm not talking about President Buhari alone. President Buhari does not rule alone. This is a democratic regime. It's not like in the military. Are you listening to me? He cannot rule alone. He can, no, however good intentioned he is, and he wants to fight this and he wants to do that, he has to work with a team. So all Nebuchadnezzar-like hearts that are around him, it is our job to work on them. Give the Lord a clap offering. They are not, listen to me, it's a prophetic message. They are not going to change overnight too. We will move them from chapter 2 to chapter 3. Then we'll move them from chapter 3 to chapter 4. But ultimately, the will of God for Nigeria will be done. Give the Lord a clap offering. You have to understand this. That's why it's written like this in the scripture, to show us the importance of tenacity, the importance of importunity in prayer, the importance of consistency in prayer. Daniel didn't give up. The same Nebuchadnezzar. Actually, I prayed for this man last year. Look at how God blessed him, and look at him now. He ought to backslide. It's even worse. You know, in chapter 3, it was worse than chapter 2. In chapter 3, he just said he should go and kill them. In chapter 3, he said, anybody doesn't throw him into the fire. That's enough for you to give up. And you know the beautiful thing? I'm talking about, you know, about leaders. You know, beautiful thing about Daniel? Even when Daniel had a revelation of God's judgment coming upon Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel did not gloat. I've told him. God's going to show him now. See, the reason why many of our prayers are not working is that there is no heart of love and mercy, even towards bad leaders. Daniel, he knew Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked man. He knew Nebuchadnezzar's faults. But you know what he said to him? He said, O king, this will be to thy enemies. He was still trying. He didn't give up. And you know, ultimately, Daniel won. Nebuchadnezzar changed. So I don't care how bad they are, they will change. With this new regime that we have, I'm not talking about the political, I'm talking about the spiritual. This spirit without measure. That's why we are praying for the release. That's why we are praying, united praying spirit. The power of God will walk upon their hearts. They won't change overnight too. But they will change. Are you listening to me? They will change gradually. And that's why we have an evolution. We go from Daniel. See, Cyrus was not like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king. Cyrus, on the other hand, was a benevolent king. Everybody say benevolent king. Benevolent means somebody who is gracious. Somebody who benefits other people. That's where we get the word benefit from. You know, a benevolent is a good ruler. A ruler who blesses people. And I want to show you two characteristics of Cyrus. This is very, very important. Everybody, look at Ezra and look at chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to look at two or three scriptures. Am I helping anybody here? Ezra chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Did he say king of Israel? Did he say king of Israel? He's not godly. Godly means like God. David was a godly leader. That's the last one we're going to look at. You know, David was a godly leader, but these guys weren't godly leaders. But this one was not a wicked ruler. He was not like Nebuchadnezzar. He was a benevolent ruler. Again, through the intercession of Daniel. That the word of the Lord, I didn't hear you, by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be fulfilled. The Lord did what? Stirred up the what? Spirit of Cyrus. Unbeliever. So all these guys that we have, not only General Buhari, all these guys we have in the Senate, the governors, the House of Reps, both at the federal level and at the state level, there are a lot of Nebuchadnezzar-like kind of people with Nebuchadnezzar-like tendencies. And you have some of them who will be like Cyrus. That's why we have to pray. You see, it wasn't Cyrus who stirred himself, it was the Lord who stirred him. I didn't hear you. It was the Lord. Don't your neighbor say, Cyrus didn't stir himself. The Lord stirred him. Stop! No. Let me finish this thing. That he should make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, let the Jews go up. Because of time, I don't want to go into all that. Let me ask a rhetorical question. The answer is obvious. If the Lord had not stirred him, they would have stayed in Persia. He was a nice man. He had a benevolent heart. But somebody had to pray for God to stir his heart to do the will of God. We can't leave these guys to themselves. A child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. Leaders left to themselves without prayer will bring Nigeria to shame. You have to pray. And the Lord stirred, he stirred up the spirit of Cyrus. Now look at two other scriptures that help us to characterize this lovely king, this benevolent king. Cyrus chapter 6 verse 10. Sorry, Ezra. There is no Cyrus chapter 6. Cyrus did not write scripture. Okay, Ezra was the Jew who was writing. Now, Ezra chapter 6 verse 10. This is what Cyrus said. Now, Cyrus was not a Jew. He was not, he didn't know the God of Abraham. They were still worshipping their own funny gods. But he began to understand through intercession, through the prayers of Daniel and all these other people, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah and all these guys, you know, because God was moving. You know, when we sang today, God is dwelling within our land. Oh. Yes. Give the Lord a clap offering. And he's going to be working on the hearts of these men. The Lord was the one who started, he began to influence them, the heart of Cyrus. First of all, he released them. Then secondly, he said, look, wait. When they get to that place, make sure you give them the money and everything they need so that they can pray. Watch that. That they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and what? Pray for the what? Life of the king and of his sons. He recognized, he perceived that the God of Israel was good to them. And they needed to continue to court his favor. We are going to do that with these people. Amen. See, my faith is not in APC. My faith is not in PDP. My faith is not in these men. My faith is in the God who can stir their hearts. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Chapter 7. I like this one. Verse 23. Ezra. It's a funny scripture to me. He said, whatsoever... This is not Daniel talking. It's not Ezra. It's not Nehemiah. It is Cyrus or Darius, one of the kings. He says, whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently. I didn't hear you. For the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and of his son? This man had learned from history. You don't cross the God of Abraham. He saw, they were the people, it was the Medes and the Persians that defeated the Babylonians. They were there that night, they saw what happened to Belteshazzar. So when they now got back and these people, oh, don't mess with them. Let them pray for us so that there will be no wrath, so that nothing bad will happen to us. Through the manifestation, this is a prophetic word, I give it now. Through the manifestation of the release of the Spirit without measure and the power of God in Nigeria, the government of Nigeria will have a healthy respect for the church. Amen. Now, they acknowledge, but it's not the same. So for why should there be wrath? Nobody is going to mess with the church. Are you listening to me? In this new dispensation, it's not going to happen. God, through our intercession and prayer, we make sure this is going to happen. Let them pray for the life of the king and of his sons. For why should there be wrath against the king and his sons? Now let's go to that David and I close. David is a godly king. See, kings can be wicked, and we have wicked people in different areas. Or let me be more liberal, or rather, let me be more. I don't know what word I should use. Let me be a little bit more flexible on that. You know, let's say they have wicked tendencies. I don't want to be absolute. You know, we have a lot of people. We have some people who have wicked tendencies in their hearts. You know, Nebuchadnezzar-like wicked tendencies. You have some of them who are like Cyrus, who have benevolent tendencies. As we pray for these people over these next 4 years, and even in the governments that will come after 2019, God, through our intercession, will begin to work upon their hearts. And this evolution from Nebuchadnezzar-like to Cyrus-like to David-like will begin to take place so that the will of God for Nigeria will be done. Is this clear? Is this clear? It is very important that the church be sees beyond flesh and blood. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Your enemy is not a particular man or a particular ruler or a particular religion for that matter. It's very interesting that these people, particularly Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus, they were not Christians. They were not Jews. But it did not stop God from doing what God wanted to do. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. It's very important that we understand this. Now let's look at David. Two things about David and we'll close. 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 12. David, unlike Nebuchadnezzar and like Cyrus, knew God personally. Now we've had our Davids or David-like, but some of them didn't perform as they should have performed. I mentioned that at my introduction. But we thank God. In spite of. David perceived something. And I want to say this. I don't know who will be listening to this message. Maybe the head of state may be listening to it. Any politician. You know, or our governor. Whoever is listening to this message. This scripture I'm about to read. Two or three of them. Is a message for you. Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. The principle is what matters. And I want you to hold on. And David perceived that the Lord had established him, I didn't hear you, king over Israel, and had exalted his kingdom for David's sake. This is one of the most important things a ruler must understand. You are there for the people. I thank God, General Buhari, President Buhari rather, he says he wants to be addressed as president, and I like that. You know, said he they are there for the people. I belong to everyone, and I belong to no one. I recognize I am here at the service of the people. Governor Ajimobi said the same thing in his inaugural speech, and quite a number of the others, I'm sure. You know, you must understand you are not there for yourself. You are not there for your family. You are not there for your friends. You are not there for your contracts. You are there for the people. Give the Lord a clap offering. He exalts for him, keeping the people's sake. Next verse, or rather next scripture. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and I'm going to look at start from verse 1. 2 Samuel 23, excuse me, and verse, I love this portion of scripture. I love this portion. It's one of my favorite portions of scripture. This is at the end of the life of David. He's a godly king. And he said, now these be, I didn't hear you, the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Give David a clap offering, somebody. You know something about David? I'll say it in Yoruba, then I'll come back to English. Omori. That means David understood the good God had showed him. Who is David and who is his father's house? You know, he said so. He said, who am I to be son-in-law to the king?
David was just a shepherd boy. His father was just an ordinary man in Bethlehem. Who is David and who is his father's house? But he understood where God had taken him from. And he gave the glory and the honor to God. David, the son of Jesse, raised up. Who raised him up? God. Anointed of the God of Jacob. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Next verse. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Next verse. The God of Israel. Now I'm zeroing in on this, and possibly is where I'm going to close. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake unto me, he that ruleth over men must. Everybody shout it. Shout it again. Shout it again. Oh, brethren, let's back up. Say, he that ruleth. I'm screaming this from this platform to the whole of Nigeria, to our president, to the vice president, to the senate, to the governors, to the house of reps. Everybody hear the word of God. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Amen. David understood it. He understood it. He knew he was not there by his own power. He knew God put him there for the benefit of the people. And then he knew that he must be just, ruling in the fear of God. I've already said this. I close. How are these men going to do all of this? They can't do it. It's God who will steer them. And it is our intercession that will make God steer them. We have a job to do. 1999 to 2015, we have thanked God. We're not where we should be, but we're not where we used to be. We've had a lot of, quite a bit of disappointments here and there, both individuals as well as in policies and a lot of things. I've highlighted the issue of water, of power, of security, and all of that. These issues still stand before us. But the God who we serve, he will use these men through our prayers to meet these challenges. Are you listening to me? We have to understand that we cannot sit idly by, cross our legs, and be waiting for them to fall. We cannot sit idly by and begin to just criticize and just make noise with our mouths instead of making noise with our groanings and our tongues and our intercessions. I got to mention this scripture. My wife mentioned it. I just hit it running. You know, after the election and President Buhari came in and he was then president-elect, he says, first of all, prayers and supplications and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? It's a selfish reason. It's enlightened self-interest that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodness and honesty. You are not praying for them for themselves. You are praying for them for you. You're praying for them for you. Hey, Shekaramakatofre, for your children and for your children's children. Let us pray. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, David, these are the evolution in the hearts of leaders. Some people may be at a Nebuchadnezzar stage in some areas. Some people may be in a Cyrus stage. Maybe we have a few who are in the David stage. But we must pray for them.
And as we pray for them, God will move them from a Nebuchadnezzar-like attitude where it exists to a Cyrus-like, to a David-like. I must say this. It's not Mickey Mouse praying that's going to get this job done. That's why we need the Spirit without measure. That's why we need this united praying in the Spirit. See, the disappointments of 1999 to 2015, you can lay it at the feet of the church. The compromise in the church, the covetousness in the church, the greed in the church, the prayerlessness in the church. I'm not saying nobody prayed, some of us were praying, but then a lot of people weren't praying. No, they were just trying to take advantage, and we saw what happened. That must not repeat itself again. Because God Himself, now, as I speak, is first of all going to clean the church out. As He cleans the church out, a glorious church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle will now produce a nation that's going to be without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. A nation in which there will be no complaining in our streets. There will be no breaking in. And the will of God will be done. In Jesus' name. Talk to God. What are you going to be? A criticizer? Or a watcher who makes prophetic decrees by the word of the holy ones so that the will of God for the nation be done? We enter a new dispensation, a new government with this fresh, not new, but a fresh understanding that it is our responsibility to pray so that God will stir the hearts of the leaders, so He will move them from Nebuchadnezzar tendencies to Cyrus inclinations and ultimately to David inclination. Just ruling in the fear of God. David's attitude of justice shines out clearly when Shimei began to stone him and curse him. Any other ruler at that time, and David had the power, the sons of Zeruiah said, "Who is this dead dog, this Benjamite, that he should curse the king? Let me take his head off." David said, "Not so. He must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Yeah, he has cursed me, but my son too rebelled against me. So who else is Benjamin? Leave him alone. Leave him alone." The Absalom rebellion is crushed. It's time for David to be vindictive and vengeful. Shimei is the first person that comes to him and bows before him. And David said, "Go to your house. You will not die." A man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
Hands reach out.
Hands reach out.
A sign of honesty, sincerity. The other hand is a hand as a sign of submission, to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Diligence. Somebody said if we knew the elections were going to turn out the way they turned out, some of us would probably not have prayed the way we prayed. But God knows what He's doing. Now it's clear to us what God is doing. And God, through this message, has helped us to outline. We can see what God is doing. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, David, working in the hearts of our leaders to ultimately bring Nigeria into the harbor of destiny. Because we failed in our own righteousness. It says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will leave the land. So the degree to which has not healed in some areas is the degree to which we did not turn from our wicked ways, which we did not humble ourselves. So the onus is on us. I said this in the morning when I was talking about husband and wife kind of relationships. The initiative is never with darkness, it is with light. You and I, we are the light of Nigeria. We are the salt of Nigeria. May God not allow us to lose our savour. May we continue to be light to dispel the darkness from our government, to dispel the darkness of corruption, to dispel the darkness of lack of electricity and power, to dispel the darkness of a terrible, broken down educational system, to dispel the darkness of a healthcare system that has completely broken down. We are light. Put that hand up. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. We're going to pray in a minute. I want you to say that to God personally. Say, here I am, God, send me. I'm going to be part of the solution. I will no longer be a part of the problem. I will no longer be. You see, many of us have been part of the problem because we didn't humble ourselves, because we didn't pray, we didn't turn from our wicked ways. And mommy shared with us the other day, wicked way is not the guy who goes to Babalawo and all that. Wicked is the guy who does not obey instruction. We didn't turn from our wicked ways. We had a president who had a brush with Christ. Instead of them discipling the man, they went and became sycophants. See what happened. Put your hand up. Say in your heart, say, Lord, here I am. Like Isaiah the prophet, send me. I will keep rank. I will take my place. In prayer for the spirit without measure, and in prayer for Nigeria. No longer will I treat prayer for the nation as a secondary matter. I come when I like, I come when I don't like. I pray when I like, I don't pray when I don't like. Lord! Lord! I see now that my salvation is in the salvation of Nigeria. My peace is in the peace of Nigeria. My prosperity is in the prosperity of Nigeria. The peace of my children and my children's children is in the peace of Nigeria. So I see, Lord, that praying for Nigeria is actually praying for myself. Lord, have mercy on me. Put a hand up. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, revealing to me your prophetic purpose for this nation of destiny from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which the rivers divide, that through the prayers of your people, effectual, fervent, consistent prayers that will avail much, we can stir. You, through our prayers, can stir the hearts of our new leaders from Nebuchadnezzar-like tendencies to Cyrus-like hearts and ultimately to David-like hearts, so that they will rule justly and in the fear of God. That your wisdom, your purpose for Nigeria will come to pass. That your kingdom will come and your will be done in Nigeria now, in this dispensation, as it is in heaven. Bringing upon Nigeria the blessings of the age to come, in Jesus' name. Neka tofredegala, jele piki tofrika klamashaga, sofrika tofredingatuko, lembrake tulumatufri, zefrika klamatoros, zefrika tolomashala, lembrake tulumatufri, nofredingerolomashala, zefridi, nekatala mashoros, nefridi limingeridis, jele bredela. Zofridis, Nifridela Mangiros, Jele Prictufris, Nofridilis, Nifridilis, Shalabras, Nofridilis, Nofridilis, Noans, Licadaras, Nofridis, Ninka Tolomos Tufrisk, Tolomos Tara, Nefridilisk. In Jesus' name. Put one hand on your body. We're going to pray for our healing in hell. Where are the children? Can they bring the children to join us? Now, quickly that can be done. Want the children to be a part of this prayer for healing? See, we're not praying only for healing. When you are sick, then you pray and then you get healed. That's part of it. We're also praying to stay in good health. So that the enemy, the doctors will tell you, while they're bringing the children, doctors will tell you that most things, by the time they are discovered, they have already been inside the body for a long time. Especially a lot of internal things like cancer and all these funny God forbid things, blood pressure, all these things, many times they are already, the thing is already incubated inside. Unless you have these very sophisticated machines like a CT scan or an MRI, magnetic resonance imaging system or NMR or PET scan or some of these very highly sophisticated machines, you won't know. By the time the thing starts disturbing you, say, my head is paining me, my nose is paining me, then you now go to your doctor and now do test. You now see that the thing is there. But it has been there. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is nothing there now that will not go. I don't understand, though. Talk to your neighbor and say, there is nothing there that will not go at the command of the word of God. Nothing. Nothing. It's going to be allowed to incubate inside my body. That's why we pray these prayers. Not only for the healing of the one that has shown, but for the one that is inside that may be trying to show, but it will not show. Okay. Everybody just, children, they're very easy to, children have faith. They don't have a problem. Just touch your body, children, and everybody raise your hands. Just raise your hands. God bless you, children. God bless you, children. God bless you. Everyone, raise your hands. Don't play with your health. I said this last week. I'm going to repeat it just before we begin to pray. Don't Mickey Mouse. And Mickey Mouse is just my term for say this kind of, prayer that doesn't have any fire. Pastor Wally taught us about 2-3 Wednesdays ago. It says intense exertion. The kingdom of God. What's the kingdom? Righteousness, peace, joy. It's healing. Healing is righteousness. That's what is right. Healing is what is right. Sickness is what is wrong. Righteousness, peace, and joy. He said, the violent, take it by force. The Amplified Bible says, by intense exertion. When you pray in the Spirit, you see me. You see my wife and I, and some of the pastors. You don't pray Mickey Mouse prayer. Make sure there's fire. And power is coming from the inside. The other day I was teaching them in intercessory school. The reason why you grow, understand it. It's not a doctrine. The reason is you are pumping out power. We know. The other day, the thing in my house, the water was not coming out of my bathroom properly. It was coming out, but it was just a trickle. So I now called my people at the gate. I said, go and see what is happening. We have a fast power pump. So it's that pump that pumps the water from the tanks, into the bathroom. The electrical connection at the power pump was faulty. It was there, but it was shaking. So maybe an insect or a lizard or something ran over the thing, so it had lost connection. So I was not getting power anymore. I was not getting water. But there was water in the house. So now the boy now went, one of my guards, he now went to the back and said, Daddy, Motirio, can you power pump head? Money motivate by that. Immediately I just put the thing up. Bah! If you don't pump the power of God, it will not rise to your soul. Then it will not enter the body. This all you are going to get is That's why you pray with strength, intense exertion. Then power will come. Then we enter the mind, the will, the emotion. We enter the body. Then God forbid it meets anything that it should not meet. That everything it will reverse it. Amen. You will live. Oh.
Amen.
You will not die.
Amen.
Not only will you live, your children will live.
Amen.
Not only with your children, your children's children will live.
Amen.
Now put that hand up. Touch your body. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that tells me that by the stripes of Jesus,
I have been healed. So I am legally, I am free. I am free from sickness and disease. They do not have a right in my body, and I will not allow them. By the resurrection life and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I now proceed to drive out from my body every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus. I release the healing power, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in sufficient measure into my body now, into my heart, my kidneys, my liver, my lungs, all my blood vessels, into every cell of my body, into the DNA, in the nucleus of every cell, commanding them to operate error-free. In the name of Jesus, I declare, I enforce, I say, I am healed, and I live in divine healing and health. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now pray in the spirit. Pray with intensity.
In Jesus' name. Mommy, come. Join hands with somebody as we take the benediction. And brethren, don't pray like this only in church. Pray like this all the time. When you're alone in your room and something happens, your head is spinning or something, don't start crying. Get off that from that bed. Draw life and fire. And let Satan stamp notice on him. Say, look, it's me and you here. The Bible says, I am strong and the word of God abideth in me, and I've overcome the wicked one. Don't be afraid. Tell him. Say it with your mouth. Say it out loud. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. It's me and you here. I've overcome in Jesus' name. Then begin to fire. You know Satan comes to Satan? He's a coward. After I will leave you alone, pack his baggage, go somewhere else, somewhere who will cry. It's true. It's well with us in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord God gives you peace. The Lord makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. Even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die.
you would live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life, God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart unto you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forever. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, I will continually pray for our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.